Hurts backs up, looking, still looking. He is firing, and it is a touchdown, A.J. Brown. Hurts made it look easy. A.J. Brown did the escape act, was wide open, and Hurts merely lobbed them the football.
Ho hum, another A.J. Brown touchdown. Becoming boring. No, it's not. Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack, now this hour, sponsored by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. All right. Pleased to have an old friend of ours. He's a co-host for Jacob Sports Media, Eagles pre- and post-game shows, plus their Sports Take show Monday through Friday, noon to 3 with Rob Ellis, our pal, and Barrett Brooks. And the Gun on One podcast cooks up a mean barbecue as well. Derek Gunn is with us. Hey, D, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
All right, Gunner. All right. Let us review Thursday's game. Eagles go on the road, short week, win. Never seem in trouble of losing, but some shortcomings during the game. What is your bottom line, the Derek Gunn bottom line on the win in Houston?
The bottom line is they once again found another way to win a game. When you stack up who the Eagles will be measured against, whether it's, you know, the Dallases, the Kansas Cities, the Buffaloes, they are the only team that has found a way to overcome all adversity to get to where they are, which is the only undefeated team still standing in the National Football League. But like you just said, you do see some patterns there, and you wonder, if they don't make some type of changes, will it come back and catch them eventually? But, you know, it's almost like they play down to the competition, and then a light switch goes on and says, okay, enough of this. And they turn it on and put some distance between themselves and whoever they're playing. That's a great luxury to have now, but as you know, Glenn, sometimes bad habits are habits you can't get away from, and eventually they get exposed.
Gunner, you've been covering this team for a long time. Is there a previous Eagles team that this one reminds you of, that you draw parallels to, where you're watching this team and you're saying, you know what, this reminds me of 2000 whatever?
I would say the 2014. I mean, that team was just mowing people down. They were manhandling people. At the end of the season, they called off the dogs, basically. They could have been 15-1 at a minimum that year. I think this is a better overall collection of talent with this team, but it reminds me very similar to what that team did in 2004. And, of course, that team went on to the Super Bowl and didn't win it. But, you know, they were just such a dominant team for so many reasons.
Well, I'll give you another thing that reminds me of that team. And we came in with the highlight of A.J. Brown. And we all remember what Terrell Owens brought to that team that year and how much he helped the whole offense. A.J. Brown had a mere four catches for 59 yards and a touchdown the other day. He is on pace for 90 catches, 1,500-plus yards, which would be a franchise record, and 13 touchdowns. Derek, I thought he would be special. I don't know that I thought he would be historic by this franchise. 528.com did an analytical study of the best receivers in the NFL the other day and ranked him number one overall, ahead of Kelce and Tariq Hill and Stephon Diggs. Has anything, as I said, I thought he'd be good, but he surprised me how good he has been. What's your kind of bottom line on what you've seen out of him and how it's helped the others?
No, basically he is the same receiver that I watched in Tennessee when he started off his career with back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. My concern going into the season is, even though he has such a close relationship with Jalen Hurts, how would he be used in this offense? And obviously, it was evident right from the start of the season that those two had an incredible connection. You cannot cover him one-on-one. He's such a big physical specimen. He has this second gear. He can run away from you as well. But his hand strength is what makes up the sum of the whole with him. He has such incredible hand strength. I equate him to DeAndre Hopkins of Arizona. When you talk about once he gets his hands on the ball, they don't drop many. And they're the type of receivers, when you talk to them after games, it's not so much about what you did, but, man, I could have done this a little bit better. I love the mindset that he has, you know. He talked about how, I shouldn't have dropped that one pass, or I shouldn't have dropped two passes. He is such an incredible physical specimen. He is probably, my goodness, the most physical wide receiver in the NFL. When you look at most wide receivers, they're more about finesse than they are being brute strength. But he combines that strength with the athleticism and the speed, which makes him such a complete weapon. So I'm not surprised how he's playing his game here. I just didn't think it would click when the game started that quickly between those two.
Gunner, the one glitch defensively that seems to be coming up over and over again is their run defense. We saw it again Thursday night. Obviously, they don't have Jordan Davis. How big a concern is this for you? And if you have any theories as to what the Eagles and Jonathan Gannon ought to do to try to address it, I think all of us would be curious.
Well, I think they've got to play better gap control. You know, I knew the kid Damian Pierce was a good running back, fourth round back coming out of Florida, but and I was so intrigued about seeing him because I'd heard so much about him. That young man, I'm telling you, you talk about strength. First of all, the Eagles have to shore up the tackling. The tackling has been atrocious in a lot of ways. Secondly, they've got to play better gap control because you have coming up on your schedule, and these are teams that the Eagles should and could be able to beat. If he's healthy, you still have Jonathan Taylor. You still have the dual combination in Green Bay of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Derrick Henry is going to get the ball at least 30 times, and you got that kid named Saquon up the Jersey Turnpike. So, you know, if these bad habits continue, giving off 5, 6, 8 yards chunks of real estate, eventually somebody's going to be able to control the clock enough to where your offense can't get back on the field enough times to do enough damage to put you over the top. You know, when you look at their next opponents, okay, you know, Washington's in transition. Taylor Heineke gives them a better chance to win than Carson Wentz. They have Antonio Gibson. The Colts are a mess, but they do have Jonathan Taylor and a decent defense. Green Bay has no receivers right now, but they do have a good running game. Tennessee's quarterback issues are up for grabs. You don't know if Tannehill's coming back. And if Malik Willis is your quarterback, Tennessee's not going to beat you just throwing the ball 5 or 10 times a game. And then, of course, you don't know which Daniel Jones is going to show up, although I will say Brian Daboll has got him playing much better than any other coach has had him playing in his tenure in the National Football League. So all of these teams have parts, but I haven't seen a team that has a hole that could go toe-to-toe with this team and score 28-30 points a game. But they do have legitimate running games that could keep these games a lot closer than they should be. And as we've seen across the NFL this season, any given Sunday, we've seen so many upsets week in and week out. Any given Sunday, you just don't know what could possibly happen.
Derek Gunn is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at RealDGunn, G-U-N-N. He is known for his football acumen, more so really for being a bass fisherman, but we don't really need to ask him about that.
And barbecue aficionado.
A bass fisherman who's only got to fish 3 times this entire year because of granddad duties, picking up grandkids from daycare. And
yeah,
I haven't barbecued in over 2 months.
Well, let me put it this way. I see your social media, your Facebook feed with those adorable grandkids, and just
yes.
Adorable is the word. Okay,
thank you, my brother.
You got it. Okay, so philosophical question, or not philosophical, but kind of where they are question. Earlier in this season on WIP, Donovan McNabb was on, I think, with our afternoon guys, and he said at the time, and I don't want to come down too hard on him because it was really like early October. He said the Eagles are really built for next season and down the road more so for this season. I believe we can say Donovan was wrong on that one. But I want to kind of turn it to how imperative is it that they win this year? And the reason I ask you that is, Derek, you know what quarterbacks make in this league.
Sure.
And pretty soon, they're eventually going to have to say, okay, well, Jalen Hurts is obviously the most underpaid quarterback in the NFL. We're going to have to change that. And that's going to impact the future in terms of you've got all these guys on one-year deals, Kaiser White and James Bradbury and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Robert Quinn and other guys, T.J. Edwards. And to me, particularly when I look at the rest of the NFC, this is it. This window is wide open, and I don't know where it's going to be next year.
I couldn't agree with you more. And Glenn, as you look ahead, they're armed with great positioning for the upcoming draft. Now, they have 2 firsts, a second, and a third, and as it stands right now, they don't have another pick until the 7th round. But when you look at the draft that they've acquired over the last 2 years, 2021 and 2022, they have put themselves in a great position with youth. We all know they're not going to be able to keep everybody. I don't think there's any way they're going to bring back Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave on a big ticket in 2023. One of them would have to, if they decide they want to keep both, one of them is going to have to take a reduced amount of money. I don't see that happening, or one of them may have to go. Eventually, you're going to have to make way for a guy like Milton Williams and, of course, Jordan Davis. The youth movement is on here, but they do have enough veteran presence right now to sustain this thing longer than 1 year. You just gave A.J. Brown a contract extension. You know Devontae Smith isn't going anywhere. The key is how they approach the running back situation. I don't see them paying big money to a running back. Now, how much is Miles Sanders worth to them, and what is Miles and his agent thinking in terms of what is his value on the market? He's on pace for a 1,000-yard season. Right now, you have three potential receivers on pace for a 1,000-yard season and a running back on pace for a 1,000-yard season. We know the quarterback is going to alter the salary cap at some point. But technically, if push came to shove, they don't have to pay the quarterback until the end of 2023. Now, we also know that Howie Roseman has been great in the past at identifying young players that they want to sign to long-term deals. Now, Jalen Hurts and his financial side have to decide, is the offer the Eagles making us fair, or do we push it and bank on ourselves to play under that rookie year for 2023? That's going to be interesting to see how they approach this after this season. But when you're talking about guys like Kazir White, James Bradbury, not only are they happy to be here, but they know they're auditioning not just for the Eagles, but for other teams as well. So everybody's not going to stay here. How they fill the gaps next year is going to be interesting by way of free agency and the draft. And again, I can't emphasize enough, if they want to contend the youth movement, they're in a great position to possibly get a minimum three starters from where they're positioned in the draft next year.
All right, Gunner, so to continue this conversation, what would you do with Jalen Hurts? Are you leaning at this point more towards he's our guy, we take it for granted that we will keep him and we will pay what we need to keep him? Or are you more of the mindset that, hey, if we have to, you know, make the tough decision to say we can't afford to pay him because it will disrupt the formula that has led to this terrific season and disrupt the formula that allows teams in the NFL to succeed, that is getting great play out of a quarterback on a inexpensive rookie contract, what would you do?
You know, Mike, I've been asked that a number of times, and I'll tell you that if push comes to shove, I'm signing the quarterback. Because what you could sign him for now, whatever that number is, will still be cheaper. If he has another phenomenal season like he's having in 2023, the numbers only go up. There's nobody, I think we all agree, there's nobody better in the NFL at moving money around than Howie Roseman. He is a great cap strategist in terms of how to move money. Now, I would assume that would entail asking veteran holdovers to take restructured contracts again, and as we've seen in recent years, those players have complied with the organization's wishes to help make this team as good as it can possibly be. If I'm in Howie's shoes, I don't want to wait until after that 2023 season to sign this young man. He's checked off all the question mark boxes we've had about him from January leading up to the start of this season. His ability to be a more well-versed quarterback, the arm strength, going through his progressions more, staying home in the pocket a little bit more, being more accurate, showing the arm strength that everybody was susceptible that was suspect about. I think he's checked off all the boxes, and I think he's shown up to this point that he can be under that umbrella of so-called franchise quarterback. So if I'm Howie, and I know Howie, he's already behind closed doors, working the numbers and looking at the plus and minuses of trying to get something done with him right now. And when I say right now, that could be any time between now and next spring.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty sure bet. Derek Gunn, it is always a pleasure. Always look forward to watching you, listening to you. Give us what's the latest with the podcast?
Podcast is going well. I'm going to have Merrill Reese on next week. to talk a little football. You know,
nice.
You guys know this. You know, Merrill is a legend in this region. But I jokingly said, Merrill, how do you feel about being called a legend? And he shies away from that. He goes, you know, I'm just somebody who's fortunate to do what I do as long as I can. So he doesn't like that. But I like to tease him every now and then, call him the legend, just to get under his skin. But, you know, who better to talk football with than a man who's been behind the mic for four decades plus, who knows this team inside and out. So that podcast will drop early next week.
Yeah, great. I look forward to that. And when somebody has been doing something at his level for more than four decades, I think it's
absolutely
more than just right place, right time. He is, as are you, D-Gun. Always look forward to it. Thanks so much for your time.
Guys, thanks for having me on. You guys have a great day.
All right, pal.
You too, Gunner. You're the best. Thanks.